In the barony of Castakin, evil is rising. Creatures born of mud, stone, and bone have appeared. Politics keep the powers that be from taking action against this threat. The barony needs heroes. In the far-off hamlet of Hovel's Way, two childhood friends, bound by dreaming stars, may be the heroes that the barony needs. This is their story. The story of the heroes of Hovel's Way. Odine Dahlia Celestine is played by Angela Murray.
Odie starts channeling Dr. House and listing everything that is wrong with this guy.
Aramon Durant is played by Jared Rasher.
All of a sudden, in his head, it just turns into...
And the Dungeon Master is Chris Nizak.
It's funny, because Monty gets halfway there, he's like, wait a minute, they can't understand me. How am I going to tell them that?
I am not a knight.
That's your response?
Yes.
Make a deception check with disadvantage for that.
She takes one of the cookies that Monty was eating and just chucks it at the guy's head.
Banditry was easier. This being an operative is hard.
Now, we begin.
Where's Aramon? Aramon?
Hello? I'm up here.
Are you okay up there?
I'm fine. I have a new friend.
Is he okay?
He will be.
No.
Odie will leave the entangle spell going around the guy that's sitting in them for the time being.
Time will pass. The spell will go away. You'll be able to apprehend this person, tie them up. There is five of them that are still alive after all of that. The gentleman that was in the chair, that's Jeremy Kripke. He's the other knight of Castakin that was with Juliet Somner. They were looking into the problems around here.
I will gladly put my hand on him and try and take away some of his suffering.
When you do that, he's like, wow, that was weird. You a Titan Shard user?
No, I just have faith in a better tomorrow.
What, are you a priest of some sort?
I don't think so. I'm still sorting all of this out.
Well, thank you. I see that you're here with Robin. You're new Knights of Castakin?
We are certainly here to help.
Well, that's good. He'll get the lowdown from Robin about what's going on. Odie, do you want to do anything while this is all happening?
I will let Monty out of the bag so he can sniff around, because he's usually good at finding small places people stash stuff.
Have him roll a perception check. Or investigation, his choice.
No.
He's looking around and whatnot. You find Monty eating some cookies in a cookie jar that was laying around. You want one? They're good.
No.
You should ask Aramon if he wants one. He's really nice, so he should get some cookies too.
He should get some cookies too, but probably not cookies that have been sitting in a farmhouse filled with bandits. We don't know how long those have been here.
Tastes fine to me.
Yeah, but so does a rotten banana.
That's true. Maybe you might have a point. My bad. While he was looking around, what were you doing, Odie?
Probably helping Robin tie up the still living bandits and putting the dead ones in a pile somewhere.
There are six bodies drug out of the house and onto the field. There are the five tied up bandits. The one that surrendered is the most talkative. So, how can I get out of this without getting killed? I'd like to know. I really would.
I mean, you're going to have to talk to Robin about that, but you did have somebody here that was tied to a chair, beaten up and injured, and it sounds like you've been robbing people.
Well, he was snooping around, and
because you've been robbing people.
Well, of course we were robbing people. We're bandits. What do you expect?
I'm expecting you to be smart enough to not be a bandit.
Robin's just like standing behind you, like nodding, like, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it's not like there's a lot of work for soldiers and farmers and people like that have lost their farms and whatnot.
Did you talk to anybody? Did you try anything else first?
Sometimes the immediacy of needs overrides all that. Gotta feed our families and stuff.
I get that, but you know what happens to bandits. It's not like the law keepers around here go easy on bandits.
The guy next to him who got concussed by your shillelagh, he looks over and he's like, Callan, do you have a family? And he looks over and he's like, Alex, shut up.
She takes one of the cookies that Monty was eating and just chucks it at the guy's head.
Oh, we just stole those like 2 days ago. They're still good.
That one was covered in raccoon spit.
Oh, gross. Oh, we've seen more gross. I mean, look at all the blood over there.
And Monty, of course, is probably in the background going, hey.
This is my cookie. Like, you just wasted a good cookie.
There's more, and you've already had too many. You're going to get fat, and then you won't fit in my backpack anymore.
Well, that conversation is going on. Aramon, what are you up to? As Emma's wiping the blood off of her face.
I'm going to go over to the person with my hand axe in his forehead and pull that out. And since all of the dead bodies are together, I have no formal religious training. I am going to try and mimic whatever services I can piece together from things that I have seen in my young life at this point.
Sure thing. Yeah, you do that. You can have a point of luck for doing that.
Okay.
Emma looks at him from over by you, Odie. Is that really necessary? Those are bad guys.
How do you know?
They tried to kill us. They beat up that poor guy.
But does that make them bad? Like, I'm not going to say this in front of that idiot over there, but sometimes people are forced into their circumstances.
That's true.
So you don't think that even if somebody made some poor choices, they at least deserve a little bit of dignity in death?
I don't know. We lived in the middle of nowhere on farms and struggled to make enough food for ourselves to eat. We didn't go off and be bandits.
No, but you at least afforded a little bit of decency when your cow died.
That's true. I mean, we did cut it up and then eat it because, you know, that's just good sense.
Yeah, no, Emma, please don't go that far.
I mean, I'm not going to eat a person.
We don't need to eat the people, but I'm saying.
Oh, why would you think that, Odie?
I'm just saying, just because your nature is violence and we had to defend ourselves against these people who were doing bad things doesn't mean you ever stooped to treating them less than human.
I can see that.
So, yeah, so give Aramon his space to do the things he needs to feel that this was okay.
Yeah. He's been having a hard time with this, huh?
Uh-huh. Unlike some people.
Yeah, like you, right? You seem like they have no problem.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that no problem, it's the nature.
Oh, so your thing is all about, like, I mean, we come from the earth and we return to the earth.
Right.
Okay.
And just because the fox takes a chicken doesn't mean the fox is evil.
I mean, it's just acting according to its nature, right?
Yeah.
She gets like this pensive, far-off look in her eyes. What are the nature of humans?
I don't know that it's the nature. I think sometimes if the fox could find a pigeon, he'd probably eat that pigeon before he'd eat your chicken. Because to get your chicken, he's got to go through the fence and then the coop and, you know, get the chicken without making all the other chickens angry. And so it's not necessarily the easiest thing. Sometimes it's just the only thing available.
So what you're telling me is that people that are acting according to their natures will look for the least path of resistance to accomplish their goals.
Anyone will look for the path of least resistance to accomplish their goals.
Is that okay?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not all the time.
I was going to say, that didn't feel right.
No, it's not. I'm just saying that sometimes if you have a person who's hungry and they haven't eaten in a while and they don't have any way to buy the food, they're still going to steal that apple. But that doesn't make them a bad person.
Because they'll probably die if they don't.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense. I get that. I mean, that's why we farmed, right? So we could have food, so we could eat. Although it probably would have been, that might have been the only way for us to live on the farm. A lot of kids, too. Maybe that's why mom and dad had so many kids. She starts pontificating about, like, why she has a large family, probably to, like, work the farm and stuff.
Odie's probably going to slowly try and back away. Fade into the bushes away from this conversation.
She starts talking to Robin about it. Although that's after Robin has now finally interrogated these people. Ask me questions that I can tell you about what you would want to know from them. If you don't get everything, I'll answer some questions that Robin would know to ask.
Were they working for somebody specific? Were they working for the people we were thinking they were?
Yes. They are Black Blades and they are working for a guy named Oliver Blair. Oliver Blair is not here. Oliver Blair is the lieutenant that was part of the Brookshire Army.
Was he here?
Yes, Oliver was here, and Jeremy tells you that Oliver is the one that took him out. He took out a few of these guys, took him down anyway, before Oliver snuck up on him and knocked him out. Actually, he thinks he stabbed him, and there was some poison in the blade that he was using. Any other questions?
Do we know what their goal was, other than just to cause havoc?
We're not really 100% sure what Oliver was doing out here, but we were attacking trade caravans specifically. I mean, I guess we're supposed to mess up the trade routes out here. But, I mean, that's not why some of us were doing it. We're doing it because, you know, we need to feed our families.
You don't have a family. I already know that.
Well, some of these... Okay, so fine. We were doing it for money and greed. I mean, I'm a soldier. It's what I do.
Were you already working as a bandit before Oliver recruited you?
No, not at all. The other guy is like, Callan, of course we were. We were doing this. We've been doing this for like a year. It's like, shut up, Alex.
Odie has a pretty good insight, so she'd probably pick up on the lying anyway.
What brought you to the profession of banditry?
Well, I suck at farming. I'm pretty good with a sword, but not good enough to... I guess I'm just lazy, and that seems like an easy way to get to make money and to get the things that I want. Emma looks at the guy and is like, this guy's kind of a bastard. We should probably just kill him, right?
No, you can't kill him now, Emma, because that would be murder.
Sure, sure. But we can march him in front of a magistrate, have them convict him, and then hang him, right? That's what Robin told me that we do, right?
Probably.
She's not wrong, Odie.
No, but I'm saying she still shouldn't just start. She is not a judge. She shouldn't be an executioner.
Correct. Correct. Robin is saying to everybody, Emma, we'll follow the proper programs. I'm like, yeah, I get that. This bloodthirsty thing hasn't gone away.
Or Aramon was just like fishing for something in them redeeming, and he just keeps shooting himself in the foot every time he opens his mouth.
the Alex kid seems okay, right? He's probably like 18, 17. He's like your age, right? He's like, but we shouldn't lie to these people. But this Callan character, not such a nice person, apparently.
Do we know whose house this was?
This was my farm before it fell defunct, says the kid that's been talking. Alex is like, my parents died, so then I hooked up with Callan, and we use this place as one of our bases. I'm not really very good at farming. Emma's like, yeah, those fields look pretty bad. Odie, you're also like, man, they messed this place up pretty good. They over-farmed it without rotating. That's your guess from just looking out.
Not even the animals who usually hang around farms are here anymore.
And it's just like messed up ground. Like, it needs a couple of seasons to like recoup itself. Did you have any questions there, Aramon?
Honestly, all he's doing is trying to give them a chance to redeem themselves. At least one of them is not acquitting himself well. So.
And he seems to be in charge.
At some point, while all of the conversation inside is happening, Odie's going to wander away and go outside, and she'll do a little... Prayer is the wrong term, but kind of a little call to nature to maybe heal this land. It's not blighted or anything like that, but it definitely needs some love again.
Yeah, it just needs some time, right? If you want to cast a blessing to help push that along, you can. If you had any spell slots, I'd say you could put some actual power into it, but I don't think you have any right now.
All I got are cantrips left.
It's a very nice thing that you do. You can feel like the land wants to heal itself. It just needs time.
She'll do a little druid craft, little ritual over a piece of dried land and have a little bit of rain fall on it from this little cube of nature she can create.
Yeah, you can have yourself a point of luck and a little bit of grass and some vegetable sprouts pop up from there. If you were to stay here for like a month and do that, you could probably fix it a lot faster, but you know, you don't have that kind of time.
Yeah.
Robin asked them some questions, some pointed ones. It was like, okay, so where is Oliver Blair then, which that will require some semblance of a roll. Somebody want to roll a d20 for Robin? You can roll with advantage since somebody's probably helping her. Although if you tell me, you have to tell me how you're helping her if you are. Although Emma's bloodthirstiness probably helps with that anyway. So never mind.
Wow.
Those are terrible rolls.
Those are terrible rolls.
Wow.
I think Aramon actually did the opposite of helping by trying to be nice to them. She just got like threw Robin off of her game there.
Kellen looks at y'all and he's like, look, if you promise to cut me loose, I will tell you where I was supposed to meet Oliver Blair.
From outside the house, you hear Odie going, I hear him talking again. He's lying.
Make an insight check. He's not lying. He will, but you have to promise to let him go. I will tell you the stakes for the role, which you failed, were he would just tell you. But now that you failed the role, he will tell you, but you have to give him something.
Instead, from outside, you'll hear, I hear him talking again. He's actually telling the truth this time.
Robin looks over at Jeremy, and then she looks at you, Aramon. What do you think?
I would hate for him to do anything that would harm another person after we let him go.
I mean, I would too, but sometimes you gotta let the small fry go to get the bigger prey.
Odie's face pops in the window. What about the kid? Does the kid know anything? He'd be less likely to cause problems if you let him go.
Alex doesn't know anything. Obviously, this scumbag Callan is the one that was in charge of this, at least this crew. Alex would also like to, like, keep his farm. He promises not to do anything terrible anymore.
We will come back to you. What if we were to speak on your behalf so that you would not get a sentence that would cause you to be killed? Then you could share information with us and continue breathing.
No, you cut me loose and I'll tell you exactly where Oliver's supposed to meet me later. this evening at sunset. Maybe let Alex keep his farm too. I mean, he owns it anyway. Just, you know, be good if he wasn't incarcerated. Alex is like, yeah, that'd be great. I'll do you one better. I'll even skip town.
Will you give up a life of banditry?
I don't know. You got something better for me?
At this point, I would feel better if you would at least just tell me that you're going to become a mercenary or something that is a little bit more restrained than ambushing people out in the wilds.
Yeah, I'll go be a merc. You got a company that I can join? Jeremy's like, you actually know how to talk your way into and out of situations. You can work with me if you want. He looks over at Jeremy. You want me to work with the Knights of Castakin?
Jeremy waffles a little bit.
Well, I mean, you could be more like an informant for me. Put yourself in dangerous situations, things that you're actually good at, and then let me know what's up.
Sounds like a wonderful job opportunity.
Sure, I'll do that. Odie, he's lying. I rolled a 1 on my deception check. You don't even have to roll your insight.
He's lying.
Damn it. Not that insight is a lie detector, but in this case, it was pretty obvious. Jeremy's even like, I got that. Look, man, that's a pretty good offer. It's even a job. But I'll probably get killed in.
Jeremy shrugs. You'll probably get killed soon anyways. Callan gives a frustrated sigh.
Fine, fine. We'll do that, I guess. And he sounds like he's telling the truth this time, even though he's reluctant. Deal?
I think this would be acceptable. What does everyone else think?
Yeah, I think so too, says Robin. Jeremy's like, yeah, I'll take him. This building, he explains it to you, it's part of a mill, and they also ferment some beer and ale and stuff there. That's the building that Oliver Blair is supposed to meet me at sunset.
What are you meeting him for?
We're taking our next steps. Apparently there's a bigger plan that has come up recently. I don't know what it's about, but it's something more than just attacking the trade caravans and causing trouble, which is what we've been doing for the past like 4 months. I've been doing it for a couple of years, but we've expanded. Like, I had a small crew. Like, I didn't have these 12 guys. There were 6 of us. We hit little things. We've started hitting bigger things since then. I don't know what this was supposed to be about. It was supposed to be about something more. Apparently, there's somebody important in town or something.
I wouldn't want to volunteer that information to him, just in case.
You see Robin nodding.
But I imagine that Robin, Emma, Aramon, and Odie all share a look.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, Jeremy, he looks over, he's like, huh, okay, I think I see what's going on here. He looks at the guy, Callan. So, who owns the place? He looks over at Jeremy and says, Lydia McEwen, she buys a lot of the wheat and things like that from the local farmers to, one, grind into flour and whatnot, and also use to ferment the ale and the beer that she makes. I don't know if she's in on it or not, I just know that's who owns the building and that's who runs that business.
I mean, it would be a shame if a man is coming into town expecting hospitality and no one was there to greet him.
I would agree. He would probably know that something was up. So we good? As good as we can be, anyway?
I think what Aramon was suggesting is that you may have your first job for Jeremy here.
Oh, not him. He's scary. Can't I have, like, an easier first go around? Jeremy's like, nope. Everybody's shaking their head no. I mean, I don't know if you two are, but everybody else is.
I mean, even Monty is on a shelf behind Jeremy, shaking his head no as he eats another cookie.
Apparently I'm meeting him like I was supposed to.
It's all right. We will be there to help you.
I mean, how? Where?
Don't know.
You're going to dress up like a bunch of bandits and just show up?
Maybe.
This strikes Aramon as if he has never thought of anything like subterfuge at all ever in his life.
Robin's like, that's actually a pretty good idea. Like, we should do that. And then Callan just like takes his hand. If he would, he would like palm fist his head, but he doesn't have his hands are tied. So Alex is like, can I not go? Like, yes, Alex, you can just stay here. You shouldn't do this stuff anymore anyway. Just be a farmer. By the way, everybody levels up.
Thank God.
You can actually have the benefits of a long rest between now and the meeting this evening. You have enough time for that. You have some time to rest and talk to people and recuperate before you have to hit the meeting at sunset. Is there anything you'd like to do, anybody you'd like to go talk to? I will tell you that Lilhava Castakin is still in town, but Max Conklin and Juliet Somner are not, because they went to the island with the hero's grave. It's going to take them a little longer to get back than you guys.
I think Aramon wants to talk to someone about finding another farmer to work with Alex so that he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, okay. Why don't you give me some sort of streetwise or personality type thing to ask around to find the right person? You can tell me what you think.
The easy thing for me would be to say persuade, because, you know, I'm just using my easy charm to ask around for people, but I don't know how deep I could ask questions with that.
I mean, you're just looking for some farmers, right? That are farming that'll help out. By the way, his last name is Robinson. You can go talk to Duncan if you want to. You could go talk to the owner of the Cup and Crab who doesn't have a name yet. Well, his name is Luke Rogers. I have a name list.
I will talk to Luke because, you know, I performed here. I might as well be comfortable here.
Hey, Aramon. Good to see you. He's a rotundish, thick guy polishing a cup right now. He's got an apron on. He's wearing a green tunic. He's got a full head of hair. Like, you going to sing tonight for us?
Unfortunately, I have commitments elsewhere.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
If I'm free at some point, I would love to do it again, but not tonight.
Well, then what can I do for you? You want a drink?
Yes, I'll take a drink because I don't want to like monopolize his time without making it worth his while.
Pour you a glass of ale.
So there's a young man, Alex Robinson.
Oh, I know the Robinson farm. It's falling on hard times. His parents died when he was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
They hang around with that not so good crowd, I hear.
That's part of what I wanted to speak to you about. He has a chance to really make something of himself. He seems to really care for the farm. He just doesn't seem to know how to care for the farm. And I didn't know if there was perhaps some other farmers in the region that would be able to help him without taking advantage of him.
Make a persuasion check.
Oh my gosh, that was terrible. I'm not even going to spend my luck because I'm pretty sure that won't do any good. That was a 6.
You spend 3 luck and you get to re-roll it.
Yeah, but I have 1 luck.
Yeah, that's a problem. Thinks about it for a second. Well, I suppose you could go talk to Theodore Crawford, but he's kind of a tough guy. Old coot, owns a farm, does okay for himself. He might have some time on his hands. He's an older man. His kids have been doing most of the work. Maybe some of his kids could possibly go over there and give a hand. I don't know if that's the best idea ever. They're not the nicest people, but they know their craft.
Perhaps this would be beneficial to all of them because they could learn to work with someone new, and that would open them up to the possibilities of being friendlier, and they would also be able to teach Alex a craft. This is Aramon being so optimistic that it is painful.
It is kind of painful. So yeah, that's the name that you get. You could probably go talk to that guy if you wanted to.
Oh, yeah, I think that's what I would do next.
Odie, while this is happening, what are you up to?
Because she's leveling, and because this is a level which she is going to be put in touch with her circle, I think she's kind of having a quiet moment by herself off by the shore of the river. I mean, she's not alone. Monty's with her, but...
Did you ever say what your star chart thing looks like?
No, I haven't. She's probably writing on the star chart, and the magic is starting to click.
As you're down by the river, jotting notes into your star chart and like looking it over and having that moment, little sparkling lights start flowing up from the grass around you. And you can tell that they're not just coming from the ground. It seems that they're coming from around you and moving towards you. And when you get a better look at them, they look like little mini pixies and fairies hovering around you.
I think she'd have a moment where she pauses and then tries to decide, am I in danger?
One of the little tiny pixies floats up to you, right up to your nose, and gently touches you on it. You can see her face. She is a little humanoid looking, maybe elvish in some ways, which there's not a lot of elves around, person with wings, and she smiles at you. And you feel this sense of warmth and appreciation and belonging from her.
If this were a comic book, there would be a panel of the back of the pixie in front of Odie's face and her eyes crossed as she's looking at it right in front of her nose. She'll just smile.
Touching your mind, you feel more than hear her say, "Welcome to the path, sister." And then the little mini fairies, they float away like little star flecks that have faded with the dawning of the day.
And she'll look up at the sky, even though it's blue, dotted with clouds. And she'll smile because she knows the stars are out there.
You make your way to the Crawford farm, Aramon. Nice farm, bunch of fields, growing different crops, vegetables, wheat, and fruit here and there. Some cattle off to the one side. See, they have a few cows. Pretty successful farm. There's an old man, 60, 70 years old, still standing pretty tall. He's got a stick that he uses as like a walking stick. You could tell it's pretty worn. He's wrinkled. His eyes are piercing as he survey what's going on. There are a number of people working the different plots of land, going around checking for bugs that would destroy the crops, watering certain spots, bringing fertilizer out, harvesting what needs to be harvested. Probably a dozen all told. He notices you, and he just watches you.
I will flash him a smile and wave, and start walking towards him.
When you smile and wave, he grimaces a little bit more.
Hello! I hope I am not coming at a bad time, but I wanted to speak with you about something that you could do to help one of your fellows in this town.
He looks you up and down. What are you, some kind of mercenary?
Oh, no. No, certainly not. My father taught me much better than that. I always would never fight without fighting for a cause.
So you're a man that believes in causes?
Yes, very much so.
He looks back at the farm, looks back at you. So what do you want?
Do you know about the Robinson family?
Ah, he spits on the ground. Cursed family. Farm was blighted. People died. Terrible thing. That's obviously a lie, because Odie knows that the farm wasn't blighted. They just didn't know how to manage it. Alex's parents just probably died from, like, disease or whatever. People die sometimes, you know?
Well, this is an exciting opportunity, because you could help lift a curse then. See, Alex, the young man who is still left there, he has had a hard time necessarily understanding the nuances of farming, and he could use somebody that would help him, and I am sure that if someone helped him, he would share some of the profits for the crops, and, you know, once he's up and going on his own, then everything would be wonderful.
That boy, I don't think he's got any kind of sense whatsoever. In fact, my boys told me his farm is pretty much toasted. They won't be able to grow anything there for another year or two.
Well, I do have a friend who is a druid, and she had looked at the place, and there is indeed some mistakes that were made, but I would just, if nothing else, if Alex could maybe work with you for a while so that he could see and do what he needs to prepare the farm for the next year.
I know, I'm telling you that the wild cursed that farm, killed the parents. I don't know if I want to get involved with that. Make a persuasion check to convince him that it might not be a terrible idea.
As part of me trying to convince him, I am going to point out, my friend, who is a druid, she definitely spoke a blessing over it, and she said that it should be quite amenable to growing crops, so I do believe we are on the right track to begin with.
That gives you the not disadvantage that I was going to give you on this roll.
All right. Oh my gosh. That is a 10. I am glad that Aramon is so charming that he apparently does not know how to speak with people today.
So the farm's going to be useless anyway for a year or two, right?
Possibly.
Why don't you tell that Robinson kid, I'll take him on as a farmhand. He can come work on my farm. I'll give him room and board. Learn him up.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. I will pass on that information to him.
Yeah, as you start to walk away, he's like, you sure you know what you're doing here? You know, I'm not the nicest guy around. I'll work him hard.
It has always been my experience that the more people that someone gets to know and the more they truly share of themselves, the more they open up to one another and the better people they become.
All right. Well, if he accepts, it'll be fine then. By the way, you can have a point of luck for doing that. You can only have a max of 5, just so you know.
As we are getting ready to put on the bandit gear so that we look like this band, I am going to walk up to Robin, basically because I am feeling this camaraderie. I feel like I have done a good deed today. I have this adrenaline going, and I will walk up to her jokingly and say, do I look like a ne'er-do-well?
She looks you up and down. She's like, I don't know that you could ever look like a ne'er-do-well. It's probably the chin or the hair, maybe the cheekbones. I'm not really sure, but you just got hero written all over your face.
I'm going to pull the cloak up over my face and go, what about now?
Now you look like somebody from those stories that bards tell.
Doesn't he already look like a person from one of those stories that the bards tell?
Well, I mean, he's trying to go for villain. You see what I mean? Like the villain with the cape thing in front of their mouths and stuff.
Yes, Odie, I am very scary right now.
No, you're not. I mean, your eyes still stay hero.
I'm trying to, like, narrow my eyes while I'm holding the cape. What about now?
I know.
Robin's just smiling at you, shaking her head.
Just keep your hood low.
This is probably one of the first times that he has been unguarded around her for a while. So he's just kind of, like, laughing and meeting her gaze at the same time.
Emma comes in after a moment, looks over at the three of you having a discussion, looks at you, Aramon. Are you trying out for a play where you're going to be a villain or something? It's a good look. And then she walks past.
You see? I have this down.
I mean, this is the person I had to have a conversation with about cannibalism is bad.
Emma looks back. He's like, I always thought cannibalism was bad. I thought we were talking about something else. Jeremy is not going to come with you because he's actually really hurt. He needs some days to heal up. But Callan's with you, and it's the four of you dressed up as bandits. Are you wearing your chainmail? Let me tell you what happens if you wear your chainmail. If you don't wear your chainmail, that is more realistic to the situation. If you do wear your chainmail, there might be a situation where you will roll disadvantage because somebody will notice that you are better armed than you should be for a bandit that's working with Callan.
Yeah.
But it's not like you can't hide it. It's just potentially that could happen.
I think I'm going to leave the armor behind.
They'll give you a set of leather, so at least you're not unarmored. Callan's like, oh, that makes you look much more like a bandit. The chainmail was like a kind of a dead giveaway, the chinking and the silveryness of it all. Also, was it chainmail or a chain shirt?
It is actually chainmail, I believe.
Yeah, so it's the whole shebang then, right? Like,
yeah, it's like going down past my knees and yeah.
Dude, come here. And he like takes some eye black and like rubs some eye black under your eyes and like messes your hair up. He's like, that's better. Now you look more like a bandit. Jesus.
No, he doesn't. He just made his hair look more just rakish.
Yeah, there's that. But at least he looks rakish, kind of like I look rakish. But he's like 12 times better at it than I am. It's really annoying, actually. Kind of want to just punch him in his stupid perfect face.
I love that. Like, no matter what, you can't mess him up quite that much.
You see Robin is like staring at you, like eyeing you up and down. And when she notices that you're looking back, she like looks away really quick. We should go. We should definitely go. Emma standing next to you, Odie's like, is there a thing there that I don't know about?
How can you not know?
I don't know. Robin's always so serious.
We'll talk about it later.
Okay. It's weird. Aramon's kind of a jerk.
No, he's not.
He's a bad sword teacher. He's a good sword teacher, I guess. I don't know. He's hard on me.
Yeah, he's hard on you, but you're a better swords person because of it.
That's true. I just don't like being bossed around. You like it when people tell you what to do?
Depends on the person. And honestly, if I don't like them, I just ignore them. But it's a little different when you're slinging a sword.
Yeah. I mean, you never got annoyed with Noelle in the entire time that you were a student?
Well, sometimes she would tell me to go do chores and I would just go do what I wanted to anyway, but then I'd get in trouble, so I'd have to do what she wanted me to do anyway.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
But that doesn't mean she's a jerk.
Yeah, I guess not.
And I mean, like, Aramon meant well training you.
I mean, he did fine, but he didn't even realize that I was older than him.
Well, yeah.
Okay, maybe jerk's the wrong word. Oblivious is probably the better word.
Oh, yeah.
You arrive at the brewery. Oliver is a medium height man. He is pretty nondescript. Looks like he would blend in a crowd really well. Just brown hair, brown eyes, nothing too distinguishing about him. Although his eyes are very intelligent and trying to take in everything at once. Everybody make a perception check though really quick, please. I will roll for the two ladies. Emma notices something strange about Oliver, but doesn't say anything because, you know, you're in this room. But she glances at his shadow, and she glances at the rest of the group, although none of you notice anything odd about a shadow.
Sadly, I'm just assuming that Emma is, you know, antsy to murder someone.
Robin is standing right behind Callan. Oliver looks at Callan. Callan, how are things? Callan looks around and is like, oh, they're fine. Everything's fine. We're all fine here. He seems a little nervous, Callan.
In the background, below her cloak, Odie just rolls her eyes.
That's a good thing Callan gets a pretty good plus to deception. Much better than Oliver's inside check. Where's Alex and the rest of your crew? Like, oh, I've picked these people up. They're very, very competent. Some new recruits in town. Okay. Can they fight? Callan looks over at you, Aramon.
Okay, I'm going to do this, and I apologize. I imagine that his impulse is to like pull out his sword and do like a flourish and then hold the thing up, which is totally not how any bandit would have been trained how to salute someone with a sword.
It's true. Yeah, you do that?
Yep.
Okay. He looks at you pulling that sword out like that, looks over at Callan, looks back at you. That is something that trained swordsmen do, especially the Knights of different baronies and duchies and such.
From the back, Odie will try and interrupt to kind of distract. So what's the job?
Looks past you. Make a deception check, Odie.
Odie got a 2.
Oh, that's going to be bad. Since I got like a 19 for my insight check.
That's wonderful.
He seems really suspicious now and is like, I'll tell you the job in a second. You, where were you trained?
I am not a knight.
That's your response?
Yes.
Make a deception check with disadvantage for that. That is terrible.
I mean, technically, am I a knight?
Just think about if you were in the middle of a crime, talking to a crime lord, and you're like, I'm not a cop.
Oh, yeah, I know.
On the bright side, I rolled a 6. You have to roll again, though. You have to roll disadvantage. I rolled a 6 for my insight check. Nice.
I got a 14 and a 17. Aramon is terrible at lying, but he is also very charming.
So you're not a knight. Callan's like, no, of course he's not a knight. Why would he be a knight? That's dumb. Yeah, he's kind of young to be a knight anyway. What are you, 6, 16, 17?
You know, his reflex is to look over at Emma and go, I am younger than her.
And Emma's like, that's true. That's true. So, where were you trained then?
Actually, this time I will just say my father taught me.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Was your dad a knight?
I'm not sure.
Maybe he was part of that Conklin Rebellion then. You'd be about the right age. So, job is we're going to go and kidnap Lil Holova Castakin, the Baroness of Castakin. She's in town. I found out. Callan's like, that's kind of a... I mean, are you sure? Like, that seems like problems. Like, no, that's what we're doing. You in? Callan looks around. He's like, yeah, we're in. Let's go do that. Emma looks uncomfortable. Robin is looking around like, I guess we're going to go along with this, at least for now. What about Odie?
Odie's trying to decide if she should start the fight or not.
This is a now problem?
Yeah, because we don't want to let these people get anywhere close. That'd be bad.
If you started the fight now, you would have surprise.
Odie is going to start the fight incredibly awkwardly.
Sure.
She's going to scramble up on top of one of these giant barrels, throw her cloak off, and goes, and that is as far as you go!
Robin looks at you with horror. By the way, give yourself a point of luck for that.
I don't know that we were cut out for espionage.
You no longer get a surprise on the first round. You can all just roll for initiative now.
If I had gotten at the top of the initiative, I think this would have been the moment her starry form would reveal itself. But alas, I rolled a 1 on my die, so I have a 3 initiative.
Emma's first.
Emma will attack the dude and miss, because that's a 7.
So Emma steps forward and tries to stab him, and he actually quickly pulls 2 daggers out. He might have already been holding them, you just didn't notice, knocking the sword away from him. It is now Robin's turn.
So she goes over to the side of him. As she's moving, she's going to whip out her sword and swing it at him. And that will be 19 at Oliver.
That will actually hit Oliver.
All right. And that is 8 points of damage.
So she strikes him with her sword. He manages to get the daggers up, and the blade comes down and cuts through part of his cloak. And you notice that his cloak, it cuts for a second and then reforms. And you see that his body actually is maybe made up of shadows?
That ain't right.
You're not sure that that hurt him as much as it should have. Even Robin's a little bit taken back. He's like, what? Aramon, you're up.
All right. So Aramon is going to move in here, and I am going to take a swing at him with the longsword. I am going to ask the Dreaming Veil to guide my blade.
And what does that do?
Well, we'll see. Right now, it's just kind of a general prayer.
Fair.
All right. That is a 20 to hit.
Mm-hmm.
Since the sword is making contact, again, Aramon doesn't know this, but because he uttered this prayer, I am going to burn one of my spell slots and turn that into a Divine Smite.
Sure. What does it look like when you do that?
It's almost like silvery coruscating moonlight going up and down the blade. It's not like fiery, it's more just sort of like, you know, shimmery.
Mm-hmm.
So that is 12 slashing damage and 9 radiant.
when your blade hits him, he screams out in pain and his whole body ripples, and you see that it's partially incorporeal and shadow and also partially human as blood splatters on the ground where you cut him. He is not close to dead or anything like that, but he screams out in pain. He's like, you have the power of the dreamer on your side. I can feel it.
And you are not a normal person. That is bad.
Shadows, get them. And you see the two bandits that were standing there, they melt into shadows and attack.
Oh, boy.
The one in front of you, Aramon, lashes out at you with its weird, shadowy, tendrilish hand. 15?
A 15 does make contact.
Ooh. You take 10 points of damage.
As he's like seeing this come at him, he is so used to like rolling and letting the chainmail absorb it. It does not work with the leather that he's wearing.
No, not at all. Also, make a constitution saving throw. The DC is 13.
That is a 20.
You are fine. Next to him, the other shadow reaches out at Robin. I don't think a 11 hits Robin. I think Robin's fine. Robin manages to dance away from the shadow. It is now Oliver's turn. Oliver's like, Kellen, I'm very disappointed in you. And he reaches out with his hand to grab him. And he does, because Kellen's got a terrible armor class.
Might I use my my new fighting style of interception?
What does that do?
When a creature you see hits a target other than you within 5 feet of you, you can use your reaction to reduce the damage to the target by 1d10 plus your proficiency bonus.
I mean, if it would reduce damage, it totally could, except it's not reducing damage. He grabs him, and they both sink through the floor into the basement.
Okay.
Let me describe what happened. So Aramon tried to intercept that attack. Your hand, or the blade that you tried to use like to stop it, it just kind of went through his arm, right? Like, you tried to get in the way, and he kind of went through you, grabbing Callum, and then they both sunk through the floor.
If only I could have, like, intercepted with Radiant.
Yeah, I know, right? Okay, Odie, now you can do whatever you want to do.
So Odie's standing on top of this barrel, kind of looking horrified at what these things have been revealed to be. And that's when the kind of the starlight that the fairy kind of touched her with earlier starts to emanate from around her. For the first time, she takes on her druid wild shape, which is essentially turning her into the essence of a starry form. She just points at one of the shadows, and a luminous arrow shoots from her fingertips at it.
Yeah, make your attack roll.
Wow.
And that should be radiant damage.
That, in fact, is totally radiant damage. There's a giant explosion in the shadow's chest, and it dies, so tell me what happens.
The starlight streams forth from Odie as she points a finger at it, and it hits the shadow, and just from within the center of the shadow where the starlight touches, it radiates outward until the shadow is gone.
Nice.
Then Odie is running towards the stairs.
You can get down him, no problem.
So Odie runs into the basement, and I mean, it's easy to see where she's going. She's glowing with starlight.
Absolutely. You see Oliver has Kellen in a vat of ale, and he has stabbed him once. He's not dead yet, but he is drowning him and stabbing him. That's what you see. Saying, I don't like traitors at all. Callan's like flailing his arms around, gurgling ale as he's like bleeding into the ale too. Do you want Monty to do something?
Actually, my thought was, as I was going to have Monty run back to tell the Duchess she was the target.
Sounds good. Monty goes to do that.
Not that anyone else can understand Monty, but...
Yeah, that's, I was just picturing that.
It's funny because Monty gets halfway there. He's like, wait a minute, they can't understand me. How am I going to tell them that? I guess I'll just keep going. Maybe I can pantomime it. He just keeps going. Emma's up.
Emma's got this wild-eyed look on her face because, yes, she's bloodthirsty, but these things ain't human. But she's going to step up over here to attack.
That's a hit.
9 points of damage.
Her sword cuts through the shadowy humanoid. It hurts it, but not as much as she thinks it should. Like, the sword, there's some resistance, but it cuts clean through, and then the shadow kind of knits itself back together. It looks a little less corporeal than it was, incorporeal than it was before, like it's fading a bit. Emma shouts out, what is going on? Rock creatures, mud creatures, now living shadows? What is happening? It is Robin's turn.
She just whips out the long sword, and she's going to basically try and cut it from the bottom up, hopefully ripping apart as much shadow as possible and hoping that, you know, if she parts them, they don't come back together again.
It's a good thought.
And that's a 3.
It actually flickers out of the way. Like, it flickers and then reappears as the sword passes through where it was. Aramon Durant, you're up.
I am going to step over here. I am next to the shadow. I'm going to try and hit it with my longsword. That is a crit. I do the same thing that Robin tried, except that I line it up a little bit better. You know, so I'm like cutting it from the bottom all the way to the top and hoping that if I just cut it completely in half, the shadow won't come back together again.
I don't know if we had a crit in the game that I run yet. So the way that I do crits is you get max damage and then you roll the damage dice again.
That would be 21 points of damage, flashing.
You hit this thing and as it flickers back into existence and you cut right through it just the way that you were intending and it parts apart and then manages to knit itself back together barely. It looks like it's tethered to this reality just by the thinnest thread.
Picturing like, you know, like a torn up flag flickering in the wind, except shadow.
Yeah, pretty much. And then it reaches out to touch you.
A 13 does hit me right now.
Yeah, because you're kind of not in a great spot. On the bright side, I rolled minimum damage, so you only take 4 points.
All right.
Also make a constitution saving throw.
Oh, that is a 5.
You take 4 points of strength damage.
Oh, no.
Oliver looks over at you, Odie, as he's drowning Callan. Do you wish to save this man? As he has his dagger poised above him. Answer quickly.
Of course I do, asshole!
Fine. You can have him. You see him phase through the barrel, leaving him there, even though he's like still drowning because he's very, very hurt. Hits the ground, runs over to where there's some shadows, and vanishes.
God damn it.
Callan is going to try to pull himself out of the water, but I don't think it's going to work very well. Oh, he does! Look at that! He manages to pull himself up with his one good arm, which is partially mangled. He's like, yeah! He like spits out a bunch of air. He's like, oh, this was a terrible idea. He's holding himself there on the edge. Oh, God, I feel awful. Oh, that blade, it doesn't feel good. And then he coughs up some blood. Odie, it's your turn.
I'm going to run over, and I'm going to grab Callan, and I'm going to pull him out.
You see the wound is like festering with like black and green lines and pus.
I'm going to cast Goodberry and I get up to 10 berries. Oh.
Oh, you got one berry? That sucks.
That's not fair.
Furthermore, Callan failed his saving throw to resist the poison, so he's still poisoned and it's still killing him.
I'm going
to
shove the berry in his face.
All right. What are you going to do about the poison? You can give me a medicine check for free to see what's going on there. Or nature, your choice.
Medicine is actually a little better.
Nice. Ooh. Roll.
I got a nat 20.
I don't know if you've put it together yet, but you do know that I heal people when I touch them?
Yeah.
I don't know if you've figured out that I can do that with poison yet, though.
She will be like, lay down, stop moving, you're making it worse.
Okay, I will. I'm not going to move.
Absolute worst bedside manner possible. And she's going to bellow up the stairs. Aramon, I need some help down here. He ran away.
You know that the poison is from a cottonmouth rattler, which when they bite people, if they don't get treated pretty quickly, they tend to die.
She's going to start doing anything she can. Like, she's going to, like, reach into her pouch, pull out a poultice, you know, like, some bandages, and put it down on the wound to try and, like, I don't know, soak stuff out. If Odie knows what to do here, she would.
She does. She absolutely does. You gave him another saving throw against the poison. He totally blew it again, too. So he needs some help or he's going to die pretty quick. But you did good. You know exactly what it is. Emma and Robin get to go. Emma first, because there's still a bad guy up here.
She got an 8, so that's going to miss.
She misses the shadow. She's like, oh, why? Why is there a living shadow in front of me? Robin.
Robin is going to, like, reverse the grip on the sword and pull it from the top down this time. I don't know if that'll help. We'll see. That is a 15.
Yeah, that hits.
That is 6 points of damage, which I'm sure is actually less.
Yeah, and she stabs right through the top of the shadow, pulling down, and when she does, it just frays and then dissipates into nothingness, screaming.
I think as long as she rolled more than one damage, she was probably good.
That's correct. Robin's like, shit, we gotta see if Callan's okay. And she starts running. You okay, Odie? What's going on?
I need Aramon now!
Aramon, you're up.
I'm sure I heard this, and I will be heading down there.
You see him, this Callan, his arm is like black veined and green pus. It is a very concentrated dose of that poison.
Odie starts channeling Dr. House and listing everything that is wrong with this guy with the complete clinical disconnection, no bedside manner, and like basically out loud explaining what is going to happen to Callan if nothing is done to get the poison out of him, which is probably not helpful for Kalen.
Kalen's like, no, banditry was easier. This being an operative is hard.
Aramon starts hearing Odie saying all of this technical stuff. At first, he is hearing this, it's a neurotoxin that starts shutting this down at this point. And then all of a sudden in his head, it just turns into
on the bright side, because I think it's what, 5 hit points to get rid of a thing?
Yes.
You only have to spend 2 because of what Odie told you.
All right. So yeah, I am going to run over to him, and I know before, you know, I have an idea. I'm doing this on purpose now where I know I can heal people a certain amount every day. I don't know that I can heal poisons yet, but, you know, I'm thinking if I can heal wounds, it's worth trying. So I will put my hands on him and I will, you know, put those hit points into him.
What does it look like as you cure the poison?
It starts, the poison starts coming out and it looks like icky, you know, black, you know, as it's oozing back out of the wound. But then it kind of turns into like these wispy silver things and like evaporates.
As a side note, Odie is still glowing.
Yes. You managed to cure him. Oliver skedaddles. You're not sure how. Like, he disappeared into a shadow, and that is just gone.
Odie, you're glowing.
What?
You're glowing.
I'm what?
I don't mean, like, you know, when you, you know, feel very good about yourself and, you know, you're having a good day glowing. I mean, you are literally glowing.
Robin's like, yeah, you're glowing. You look like, and then Emma comes down and she finishes the statement by saying, beautiful, as her eyes are, like, wide.
Odie is kind of, like, looking at her hands going, oh, and then Emma says beautiful, and instantly it's gone.
You see Emma just like staring at you with her eyes wide and her jaw kind of dropped wide open. Robin walks over to you. He's like, I've seen Siobhan do that. Are you okay? I hear the first time can be quite traumatic.
My ears are ringing. Is that normal?
I'm not really sure. You'll have to ask Siobhan about it when you see her.
Oh, he got away. He ran into the shadows and disappeared.
She runs over here and looks. There's a door. But it wasn't even opened. And it's like dark over here. It's like she opens and she looks out like, yeah, he's gone. We should hurry up. We should hurry back.
This was Chapter 4 of The Hero's Hovel's Way, Shadows. Angela Murray played Odie. Jared Rasher played Aramon. Christopher Snezak played everyone and everything else. Music and sound effects were from Storyblocks and Envato. We look forward to bringing you more of this actual play series. If you'd like to interact with us, you can check out our Discord server. There is a link in our show notes. You can also help by becoming a patron. Each episode, I'll be giving a DM commentary on the choices I make called Chris's Hovel. I'll be talking about the game, plus I'll probably be talking a little bit about the editing and sound design if you're interested in that. Also, there are at least bi-weekly PDF content releases. You can get that at patreon.com/THAC0WA. That's patreon.com/Thakawa. You can check it out with a free 7-day membership and stick around if you want for $5 a month. This helps us make this show and Thaka with Advantage, the fantasy-focused RPG advice show Ange and Jared host. Speaking of patrons, I'd just like to say thank you to Doug, Victor, and the Polish Ogre for being our patrons. We appreciate you. I wanted to say thank you for helping us make this and other shows. Finally, we're part of the Polygamerist Podcast Network, where we want to help you play your best games. If you enjoyed The Heroes of Hovel's Way, you might want to check out MM Play Season of Children of the Shroud. That's our high school urban fantasy game. The whole series is currently out and is edited very much like this one. With that, I'd like to say thank you for listening, and remember, if you run into bandits, maybe they're not all evil, and they just need somebody to teach them how to farm.